Glory be to your name. Thank you, sir. Glory be to your name. Glory be to your name. You may have your seats in the presence of our life-changing King. Glory be to God. Are y'all ready for the word tonight? Oh, glory. I was so excited today. Couldn't wait till the night got here. I really couldn't. Because I was just thanking God for his graces up on our lives to reveal the will of God. You know, the most powerful thing you can know is the will of God. And I'm thankful and grateful for that. Amen. Amen. Let's just go before the Lord. Father, we do bless you and we magnify you and we do exalt you. Father, we give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory. We say thy kingdom come in all things. Father, let your will be done. And Father, may you open the eyes of our understanding that we would see and obey according to your purpose and plan in Jesus' wonderful name. And we all said amen.
Amen.
And amen. Hallelujah. Let's open up our Bibles to 2 Samuel. Amen. Now let me preface this because this is going to be an ongoing series. You know, I thank y'all for loving on me enough to allow me to grow in the grace of God. Amen. Get the kinks out of my preaching. Come on, somebody. I knocked the kinks out. So, you know, the next group of people are going to be blessed because y'all were so patient. Yeah. They're going to give them a hand of praise. Even the next one or two or 300 going to be blessed because of the first one or two. Come on, somebody. Because y'all let the preacher get the kinks out of them. I'm trusting God. I can preach better than what I'm doing, but I'm giving it everything I got. But he's realigning and working some things out, amen, to the glory of God. But until he get here, we're going to keep doing what we're doing. Amen. Are you in 2 Samuel chapter 12? And we're going to, before I tell you the verse, so it's not verse 1, it's 2 Samuel chapter 12. But I'm going to tell you the verse, but I don't want you to be preoccupied with the verse until you get focused on what we're saying here. Now, let me give you a pre-clue to what we're going to. We're talking about the anointing, amen? And the title of this message tonight is How to Get the Anointing. How many of us want to know how to get the anointing? I mean, because see, if you ever learn how to get the anointing and then learn how to just keep doing what you're doing, you'll find yourself doing a whole lot better than you have doing. You'll find yourself going places you have not been, and you'll find yourself doing things that you have not been able to do. And you'll start having things that you are not used to having because the anointing blesses you. But see, some of us got a misconception of the anointing. Come on, somebody. Some of us been told, I won't even put it on you right now. I'll put it on the last preacher. I'll put it on the book you read that you didn't understand. Come on, somebody. But I want to tell you what the anointing is, but I want to show you in your Bible. Come on, somebody. Because see, I like the Bible to talk because God can talk for himself. You got a whole lot of people trying to represent a man that can talk for himself. And he said, if you be quiet, I'm going to say something. But I'm not going to say nothing because you won't give me a room to. Amen. So I want to start right here because first we're going to have to define some things before we can find some things. Because again, a whole lot of people saying that it's something different than what it really is. Are you with me tonight? If you get this tonight and this next couple months in this teaching here, you will become another person. Because I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you everything God gave you, you already got. But what you may not have is the anointing. Now, Pastor, you sound like you're tie-tongue or you're twisted up here. No, I'm not, because I want to distinguish the difference. All right, are you in 2 Samuel? Let's get there. 2 Samuel. And I'm going to start with verse 12 for the sake of time. Amen. 2 Samuel, verse 12. And I'm going to start with verse 1. Chapter 12, and I'm going to start with verse 1, but I'm going to verse 5. Because if I'd have started verse 5, you'd have just, it's like a cliffhanger. You'd have got on and fell off. and wouldn't even understand how you was going, how you dropped. Amen. Chapter 12, verse 1. It says, "And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and came unto him, and said unto him, There was two men in one city, and one rich and the other poor." Now, we know the story of David and how David was in his place as king, walking in his position of authority, and David had rule over his men. But there was a season where the battle was on, and David had a dedicated, faithful servant that he took authority over, or he had authority over, but he took and misused his office. Amen. And he abused the man by virtue of he slept with the man's wife, which name was Bathsheba. So we all understand that. Amen. And now David was recognized that he told his servant Joab to go down there and tell tell this man, because the man, when David told him to come home, because after he slept with his wife, he was trying to cover up his sin. And so when the man was so dedicated and so faithful that when he came back home, he said, "Man, it's not honorable for me to go in and sleep with my wife while my other fellow servants, my other fellow comrades is down there in the field fighting for our lives and serve," you know what I'm saying? "And you want me to come home and sleep with my wife and act like all is well." He said, "Man, I'm too dedicated." So he sent him home, and Uriah slept at the front door. So when he slept at the front door, it messed up the conspiracy that David had, because he wanted him to go in and sleep with his wife because he knew she was pregnant, and hopefully she, you know what I'm saying, he would thought that that would have been his child. So what happened was he told him that, and so that didn't work, so he came up with plan B. "Let me call my boy Joab down on the front line. And Joab, look here, don't worry about this here. I got this move. I got a boy I'm going to send back down there to you. What I want you to do is kill him. Get rid of him. So I want you to go and put him on the front line. Put him out there in the hottest spot out there. Make sure whatever happened, that boy don't come back home. Because I'm still trying to cover up what I done." Now, the boy who was the one who he even told was even more faithful than the one who wouldn't sleep with his wife, because he didn't even ask him no question. "Why you want to kill one of my soldiers? He came home to get some rest and relax. Come on now. And you give me the charge, sent the note that when he get back, put him on the front line." And so now when we see this backdrop, we come to find out now Joab did what he was told. When Uriah came down there, he put him on the front line. And now he was on the front line. And as a result of that, he got killed. The message came back, and Joab told the boy that was coming back to tell David what had happened. He said, "Out of everything you tell him, make sure you tell him." And Joab and Uriah got killed. Have any one of us ever tried to cover up some sins we doing, some sins we done at somebody else's expense? Come on, somebody. Now we got to get in here, because see, you won't understand something if it don't mean something to you. Because if it's just a story, then it becomes a picture and it's an illumination of your mind and it's just in your imagination. But when you can relate it to what you do, you'll have compassion to what happened to him. Amen. Because some of us can do stuff and don't feel nothing, because we never related to what we're doing. It never we never consider what it costs us. We never consider what we've done to them. That's why we can keep doing it. But now that's not where we're going. This is where we're at. Now we're back here in chapter 12. Now this is where we pick up the discourse. And it says, "And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, There were two men in one city." Now you got to know Nathan was a prophet. So he come to speak, "Thus saith the Lord." Nathan was a prophet, and he come to speak, "Thus saith the Lord." Nathan was a preacher, and he come to speak, "Thus saith the Lord." Nathan had the word of God, and he come to say, "Thus saith the Lord." So here am I, saying, "Thus saith the Lord." That's all I wanted to get to. He says that right here. He says, "And Nathan came unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, There were two men in the city, one rich and the other poor." Have you ever thought about your life and you felt like God was talking to you? That was the spirit of Nathan come to say, thus saith. Why you keep talking? Why is you talking? No, I'm not. The spirit of the Lord is talking. Verse 2, and the rich had an exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished up. And it grew up together with him and with his children. I can really work right here and help some folks interpret dreams without all that, you know, way out there. Because God ain't confused if he's talking to you. Sometimes we just make more out of what he's saying. It ain't a revelation. Some stuff just plain reading. He said, can you read the handwriting on the wall? No, I'm looking for the word the Spirit of the Lord is saying. He just said it. But the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he brought and nourished it up and grew up together with him and with his children. Now, who do that sound like? The wife. Oh, come on, y'all. Come on. Stay with the text. He had one little ewe lamb. This man over here had a bunch of them. What do that sound like? The king, because he got a lot of concubines. He talking to him now, but you got to be able to discern what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. See, he thought he was talking. No, he talking about one little ewe lamb. All the man had was one wife. And the wife grew up with him and his children. Is that not in your Bible? I'm trying to get you to see when the Lord talking to you. But the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished up and grew up together with him and with his children. And he did eat on his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. Now that's a powerful word, men, because our wives is unto us as daughters. This revelation tonight. Can I just work with you? See, your wife is like a daughter. That's how you shouldn't mistreat her, because that's your daughter. She's still innocent. Actually, she just left her daddy to come sit with you because she was a daughter to her daddy. So she's still up under a daughter's anointing, but you are her husband. So you got daddy's little girl. Is it? Oh. You notice all the women on one saying, yeah, because they really letting you know that is real, because I'm looking for you to treat me like my. My father ain't hit me in the chest. My father ain't hit me upside my head. Come on, somebody. Oh, I didn't come here for that, though. I didn't come here for that, but I just want to let you know that's in there. Verse 4, and there came a traveler unto the rich man and spared to take his own flock out of his own herd to dress for wayfared man which was coming into unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. Now, I can work with that, because see, there was a man that came. Another spirit came up on the man, and the man had a desire upon him. So the man, because this spirit that came up on him, even though he had, but like a wayfaring man, he went and took the other man's. See, that's like Tamar. If you keep reading your Bible, Tamar and Absalom. Absalom went in there and messed with Tamar. The Bible said he was so sick that he wanted her so bad he was sick. So he had a friend that his friend and came and told him, which was David's brother, came and told him, look here, Doc, why don't you go in there and tell David you're sick, and then tell David to send Tamar in here so that she can comfort you and feed you so you can get better, only so you can deceive her and snatch her and do something to her. So the scriptures say he did what the man said, and Tamar came in, and he said he was sick, and he told her, come into the chamber. When she came into the chamber, he raped her. This your Bible. But then when he raped her, the Bible says that he hated her more than he loved her. How can you? I'm the same one. You talking about you can't sleep and you can't eat and you want me that bad. Now you hate me after you done had me. Can I work tonight? I'm going to help somebody with this anointing, though. I'm going towards this anointing. Because see, some of us don't realize you done lost your anointing. But I got to get to this so we can get there. Amen. Are you with me? He says right here, verse 4, and there was a traveling. Now, excuse me, verse 5. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man and said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said unto David, what? Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord. See, I'm going to show you tonight, thou art the man. Thou art the woman. Thus saith the Lord. See, because David thought he was saying something real spiritual, not only knowing he was indicting his own self because of his own action. And he didn't know that he was standing in the presence of the Lord. Are you with me? Verse 7. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man, thus saith the Lord of Israel. Watch this. I anointed thee king over Israel. Boy, this is powerful. You better hear this right here. He said, I anointed thee king over Israel. I mean, I already blessed you. I already gave you some stuff. I anointed you. See, because you got to understand, when did he get anointed? He said, I anointed thee king over Israel and delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I delivered you out of your issues, your situations. See, when the anointing comes, it's power to deliver. It's power to make whole. It's power to do. But you need the anointing. He says, I delivered thee out of the hand of Israel. I delivered thee out of the hand of Israel. My God. Let's go back, verse 7. And Nathan did say to David, thou art the man. Thus said the Lord of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave thee thy master's house. Now let's, is anybody up in here walking in some victory that you used to be defeated in? See, he wasn't, see, you got a parallel text. I'm not talking about the master that was just over you. I mean, talking about in terms of leadership, I'm talking about the thing that you were subject to. I gave you the authority back over it now. It don't even have you no more. You got it. Oh, you better come on. You better listen when the anointing was on you. He says, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. Watch this. And if that had been too little, oh God, help us right here. God said, you was anointed, you could have got everything you was talking about. He said, but you didn't ask for that. But if that would have been too little, if that, what he said, if that was not enough, you didn't have no reason to go across that line. He said, and if that would have been too little, I would have more have given unto thee what? Such and such. Somebody, you better get with me up in here. Somebody's waiting on some such and such. Somebody's waiting on some more than. God said, if that wasn't enough, I don't want you to have no reason to violate the anointing on your life. I'd have gave you whatever you asked for. That's why he didn't name no items, so you can put it in there. Such and such. Anybody? Oh, you better hear me up in here. Is anybody looking for some such and such? I don't care what you talking about, what you expecting. It was in the plan. Some of us done violated and got off and disrespected the anointing trying to get such and such. And when you got it, it wasn't like you thought it was going to be. It was just like that boy Absalom when he took Tamar. Now I hate the very thing I long for, because I don't have the anointing with it. I just got the thing, and it didn't satisfy me. It didn't fulfill me. It didn't sustain me. It can't keep me. It can't, come on, you better, it can't, what it promised, it can't fulfill, because it's not the anointing. Oh, y'all ready to work now? I just had to get that started so we can go to work. Because, see, we got to understand something. Because, see, some of us don't understand what we did, what we gave up, or what the anointing is. But I'm going to show you. Are you with me tonight? All right, then stay with me. Go to Exodus chapter 40. Now let's get down to some little work since we got a little time. Tell your neighbor it's going to get good. It's going to get good. It's going to get good. Now let's talk about this anointing. In Exodus chapter 40. Are you there? Glory be to God. Go to Exodus chapter 40. Look at verse 13. Now we're going to have to hurry up tonight because I'm going to drop some of us off right quick. You're just going to be on for the ride in a minute. Don't worry about it. Get in where you fit in. Exodus chapter 40, look at verse 13. It says, And thou shalt put upon Aaron the holy garments, and anoint him, and sanctify him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt bring his sons, and clothe them with coats. And thou shalt anoint them as thou did anoint their father, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office, for their anointing shall surely be for everlasting priesthood throughout their generations. Now watch this. You put on the anointing. See, come on, somebody. I got to tell you what it is so you'll know what it ain't. See, you got to put on the anointing. See, you don't get the anointing because you saved. Come on, somebody. I'm going to show you what grace gets in. You got to put on the anointing. That's how you can take it off. That's how some people can be anointed one week and not anointed the next. They can be anointed one season and not anointed the next because they took off what they put. Because I want to show you three things. Remember I told you there's an anointing that abides. There's an anointing that's borrowed. And then there's an anointing that remains. See, we got to learn how to walk in the anointing. See, we're not going to be a church, a group of people that's walking around talking about God and ain't got no anointing. Now, you're potentially capable of being anointed, but I want to know, are you? Go to 1 Samuel 16. Verse 13, I got to put text in this because I want to do it for the writing, for the reading, and for your living, amen? So when you go back and study, you got text. I ain't just talking about, I felt something. That ain't nothing. You just cold. They turned the air on. I want to know, do you got an anointing? And I'm going to tell you how you get it. Oh, glory. Say it's good already. See, you got to even appreciate the anointing. And nobody ain't going to stay with you you don't appreciate. Yeah, yeah. See, you don't understand that the anointing is borrowed. And in order to get the anointing, you got to please the one that gave it to you. Yeah, 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 yeah. You think you can live like this and then you're going to get the anointing? You can do this and going to get the anointing? That's not how this goes. Ask Samson. Now these ain't Bible characters, they fictitious back in. Now these were men and women of God back in that time. Just like if the Lord Terry is coming, we would have been here in 100 years. So some of them folk can ask Pastor Tedder. Some of them folk can ask Elder Adams. Come on, somebody. Some of them folk. Because we ain't going to be here. But we're going to be a living witness that what he preached is true. Amen. Because we're going to leave a legacy and a history behind us. Whether it worked or it didn't work, somebody's going to preach your life. No. Somebody going to, you don't have to preach your life. The Bible says your life is an open letter read by men. I can look at you and preach your, you preaching already. I'm waiting to get up there. You ain't got to get up here. You preaching already. Just keep living. You preaching. Oh, come on, church. Look at verse 13. It's so much in here. I don't want to mess with it. I'm training myself not to mess with them texts. Because them scriptures be knocking. Come on, say something about me. So I was going to go to verse 13, but I got to talk about verse 11. Because verse 11 is going to get me to 13. Tomorrow, stay with me. It says, verse 11, it says, and Samuel said to Jesse, are all Oh, good God Almighty, look at him. Boy, I'm going to preach this gospel tonight. Can I get happy as a preacher? Can I get happy? Because I'm happy because I got an anointing. I ain't happy because I'm in the church. I ain't happy because I'm saved. Because that's how I started. See, you got to get more than what you started with or you ain't coming up with nothing. I'm happy that I got an anointing. Watch this. In verse 11, and Samuel said unto Jesse. Now, you know the story that they came to anoint the king of, and they, Jesse said, and the Lord told him that one of them boys up in that house got that anointing. He said, now, wait. He said, y'all know the prophet coming. Come here, boy. Oh, y'all, come on up here. Because, see, if y'all become a king, that means I ain't going to be no servant no more. I'm going to start having some money, and we get a new house, and we're going to have a whole lot of things. So get yourself together, boy. Go wash up, clean up. Come on up here. He's going to be here in a minute. So when he get up here, everybody propped up. Some got their feathers up, and some ruffled, and they just, and they all prompting, and they all dancing, and they all actually doing things to show the prophet that I'm anointed. Watch right here. He says, and Samuel said to Jesse, now he done brought all them boys in front of him. He said, man, now I know the Lord said one of these boys, is one of your sons is the king. Now you got all these boys up here, but I done took them through the anointed test. I took them through the anointing test. Don't make me coming back in that couple of weeks. I'm going to talk to you about that anointing test. He said, I took them through the anointing test. He says, and Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remained yet the youngest, and he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come. Now listen, Jesse, you show me all these little do-goods, and you prop them all up, and everybody you got cologne on and all that, but ain't now one of them boys anointed. They not anointed to do what God's saying. Now, I ain't going nowhere until we come up with this boy. So I know you got to have one more. Now, Jesse didn't count this boy, but I got two sides of this story here. Jesse didn't count this boy. Jesse said this boy wasn't worth a dime. Ain't no sense of me bringing him up. Because I know he ain't the one, and I ain't going to miss my best shot for this man to pick the king. So me and my family can come up. So let's not even mess with that boy. Because I was going to say the other side of this theory was that Jesse knew that boy was anointed. But he knew them other 12 wasn't worth a dime. So even if I lose, I ain't going to lose all of it. Because if he don't find the king, I still got a good horse in that backyard. Because them boys ain't worth a dime. They ain't did nothing since they've been here. And I know David back there. He's still working, matter of fact, right now. That's how good David is. So Jesse said, you can take all 12 of them jokers. I pray you find it in there. Maybe you don't know what you're doing. One of them boys is it. Yeah, that's him. That joker ain't worth a dime. He said, man, but I can't let you take David up out of here. Because if David go, I got to go back to work. Because David, the only thing down here producing. Oh, you better hear me up in here. Can I preach this gospel right? But the prophet said, no, we ain't going but neither one of them. Go get that boy. Now watch the text. Watch the text. Scriptures will talk to you. Verse 12, he said, he sent and brought him. And now he was ruddy and with all a beautiful countenance, godly to look on. And the Lord said. And what? And the Lord said, don't you count yourself out. I don't care how bad your record is. I don't care how many times you messed up. I don't care where they found you at. I don't care how many times you disappointed your family. I don't care how many times you went broke. And the Lord said, oh, you better hear me right here. Is this good Bible? See, this Bible, I ain't talking about no philosophy. I'm talking about theology. He said, and he sent and brought him. Now he was ruddy and with all a beautiful countenance and the godly to look on. And the Lord said, arise, anoint what? Him. For what? Now watch this. For what? For what? Now if I'm looking for George, I'm looking for George, and I'm looking for him, and I'm looking, and I see him. The first thing I'm going to say, there he is. That's not what he said. He said, this is he. See, the anointing gonna find the person. The person don't find the anointing. He didn't say, here he is. He said, this is he. What was he talking about? This is the anointing. You better hear me up in here, somebody. This is the anointing. I'm looking for the man, but the anointing gonna define him. You can't tell me that wasn't so, because look at all these boys up here, and none of them was it. This is he. The anointing gonna tell who you are. You don't tell me who you are. Your degree don't tell me who you are. How long you been in church don't tell me who you are. How long, I don't care. Oh, I'm gonna let me work with you up in here. Somebody get the Lord a hand of praise. Watch this. See, the devil don't play with toys. I mean, God don't play with toys, but the devil will play with your life and your anointing. See, God ain't gonna play games with you. God's not gonna play with you. That's how we can go all our life and never walk in the anointing, because God says, I'm not gonna compromise my standard just because you don't wanna cooperate. See, watch this. There's illumination for a cooperation. There's a cooperation for a manifestation. See, you're going to have to allow God to illuminate your mind and your heart. But why would he want to share with you, illuminate you, open you up, so that you can cooperate with his will, so you can manifest, bear fruit? See, we got folks that don't want to cooperate, but we want illumination. I got to push you. I got to keep you under the press. Because if I don't, we'll quit at the point and we can get off, because it hurt. It don't feel good. But that's when it's finna change. That's when growth finna come. That's when you start gonna get your breakthrough, when it don't feel good. If it still feel good, then you ain't in the wheel. Because you ain't got to the place where you're broke, where we gonna produce some new oil. Because you ain't never had this before. You ain't never been here before. You ain't never, come on, somebody. So I'm looking for that new oil. This is he. See, I can tell when you got that new oil, you start doing new things. You start looking new. Your hands look new. Your shoe look new too. Come on, somebody. You start looking like something changing. Things start rearranging in your life, in your marriage, in your mind, in your family. Now I'm under another anointing. Let me give you this outline in case I don't get to it, so I can guarantee you come back next time. Amen. Listen. See, Samson was the strongest man alive, yet he played with his gifts and talents. I had to, and he lost, sadly, his gift, but he also lost his life. Now let's get a little clarification here, because we want to make sure that we understand the kingdom. You got gifts, you got talents, and you got the anointing. That's why the Bible says, we know the text, the gifts and callings of God are without. Meaning, I gave them to you. You didn't do nothing to get them. Matter of fact, you was born with them. So you can't live in the kingdom on what I gave you, because there's no fair exchange. What God is looking for is, what did you develop, or what did you make out of what I gave you? And that's in your character, not in your gift. See, some people living off their gift and their charisma, and they calling that the anointing. See, you ain't even tapped into the anointing until you develop the character or the nature of God. See, the anointing is not your ability to sing, your ability to preach, your ability to do whatever you do. That's the gifts and the talents. You came with that. Now, if anything, you can enhance them and develop them, but all things being equal, you came with them. But the anointing is what you develop as a result of what you came with and as a result of using it. Because the scripture says, go to 2 Kings chapter 6. You already know it, but I just want to bring it to your attention. Is this helping anybody? See, this ain't jumping and shouting, but this going to make you so happy. Because if you ever figure out how to get in the anointing, you ain't willing to give that up for nobody. Because that's the premium of my life. I mean, that's the essence of what makes me who I am. I ain't talking about going back to my little skills and my little flavor. That's my gifts and talent. I'm talking about this anointing. This is the nature of God. See, you, oh, come on, somebody. I'm talking about this is the nature of God. This is the power of God. This is the equipment that God gives me to do what he called me to do. I can't operate in my gift without the anointing. I can't preach without an anointing because there would be no drawing. The Bible says signs, miracles, and wonders follow. If there's no anointing, there's no drawing, and there will be no following. I can't heal in my anointing. If I go to operate, nobody get healed. Nobody get delivered. Nobody. I am the man, but I'm not the anointed man. I am the woman, but I'm not the anointed woman. Because the anointing is borrowed, and I don't want to cooperate and submit to the one that allows me to use it. So now he said, well, go ahead now with the axe handle. Now you're walking around in your gifts in the natural ability without the grace of God, the power of God, the anointing of God, the favor of God on your life. Is this going? Now watch this. Watch. You in 2 Kings chapter 6? Now we know the story, but let's just go here for the sake of time. It says, and the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold now, the place where we dwell there is too straight for us. Now this is when they said, I'm finna get ahead of leadership. I don't even want to hear what leadership I'm not submitted to, because you don't know I know. You don't have the way, I got the way. I've been here too long, it's time to go. So they said, it's too straight for me now. I'm no longer want to be confined to the rules. I don't want to wait till the appointed time. I'm not going to let you finish the work. I already got it. I'm anointed. So this is what he said. He said, the place is too straight for us. Verse 2, let us go, we pray, unto the Jordan, and take there thence every man a beam, and let us, this is the place, and let us make a place there. Can I stop right here? He said, let us make a place there. Now, see, we can't prepare a place there unless we are here. See, you can be here, but not here. I mean, you're present, but you're not here. You're not paying attention. You're not tracking. You have not even qualified. I'm coming, but without any participation. I'm coming without any application. But yet, I still want to go there. Come on, somebody. I'm here to get you where God got for you. Amen. And we're going to have to challenge ourselves to cooperate with God. Remember, I'm just the prophet. I'm the one that's just saying, thus said the Lord, but I'm showing you it's in your Bible, so it's the Father's will. I just happen to be the messenger. It's not my message. It's not even my responsibility. Listen, I'm accountable but not responsible. This is where a pastor can get way bent out. I start buying into what God is capable of doing. Amen. No different than we are with our children of age. Now, my children are underage, I'm responsible and accountable for them. But my children over age, I'm not responsible for them. I'm accountable. Man, that is my son. Where y'all finna take him? He did whatever he did. I'm accountable, but I'm not responsible. Amen? So we trust God. Everybody pay attention to what God's doing. We trust God that he's got the anointing to deal with every situation and every circumstance. So now because we're submitted to him, I can stand still and see the salvation of our God. Come on, church. Even like whatever, God got it. But we're going to preach the gospel. See, we can't be moved by everything that go on. I got to keep my eyes on him because some stuff is designed to distract me. Because if I ever get this, I won't be here no longer. I got to preach in two locations. Don't you think I don't know what's going on? Watch this. But I'm understanding by the authority of God that I got to stay submitted to the power of God. Now let's deal with this. Are you saying Kings? He said, now verse 3, he says, verse 2, and let us go, we pray, unto Jordan, and take thee every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered and said, go ye. Now, mind us, God has already prepared a place for you. The anointing of God is for you to cooperate with God against what's challenging you. Amen. The anointing of God is what you use to contend with what contends with you, because we're not no match for the enemy. Plus, the other side of that, we are the enemy. Come on, somebody. See, your soul wrestling against the will of God. And let's just get real. Let's get the record straight so we can get some folk set free right now. Jesus went down into captivity, went down into the grave, and took captivity captive, took the keys of hell, death, and the grave, and came back and gave us the victory. So now, the devil ain't got nan one of us. Let's get this record real straight. Because some of us talking about the devil, and he can't do nothing against the will of God. Some of us, we ain't got no control over ourselves. I'm weak in this area, and now I let the devil, come on somebody, but it ain't the devil that got me, it's my character flaw that got me. Because if the devil ever had you, you can't get free. Because his assignment, according to John 10:10, he come to rob, kill, and destroy. So if he had you, he going to do 1, 2, or 3 on you. So he don't have you. I just got to be honest. There is some character flaws within me that I'm still subject to some things. Can we preach this right? Because see, you ain't going to get the anointing if you still wrestling with the devil. Because God said, man, that movie is already over. We dealt with that. You really behind two curves. You ain't even dealing with the truth of I got to deal with myself. So it's more easy for me to say I'm dealing with the devil. But God ain't going to lie to you or himself. Son, daughter, I already dealt with the devil. It's you. And until you deal with yourself, you will be subject to the devil. But it ain't the devil that got you. Because anytime you decide to do right, you're set free that night. Wow, that's powerful, ain't it? That's the Spirit of God. That's not, it was already, you already anointed. See, we don't need to get deliverance. You already delivered. Jesus delivered you. You ain't going to get no more Jesus than you started with. You need to get developed in the Jesus you got so you can walk in dominion. See, hear me, man and woman of God. You got to get developed, meaning you got to start practicing how to walk in what he gave you. Because if you got any victory, you got all victory. Because he came and gave you all victory. He didn't give you partial victory. I whooped the devil on the right side. The left side, y'all just out there. That's not what happened. He beat the devil. The whole devil, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help us God. So if he got you out of any of it, he can get you out of all of it. Oh, you better hear me, somebody. I just got to look in the mirror and praise war against the person that I see. If you get in that mirror, the first person you see, you tell them, you've been to get right with God. Are y'all with me tonight? Thank you, Father. Now watch this, watch this. See, you got to be in a position where God's ready to work on you. See, the work got to get completed in you, amen? He's already done a work on you, but you got to let it become a finished work, a completed work. See, this anointing we talking about is your ability to agree with God, cooperate with the instructions of God, and obey the will of God, and the anointing will remain. See, the anointing comes and goes in some folks' lives. Well, in all of our lives, in different areas. But you got to declare war and begin to discipline. Paul said, I buffet myself. I put my own self under a strict regimen so that I can train myself how to become who God called me. But I'm already capable of being it. You ain't going to go down and die. He ain't coming again to give you no more anointing. You got all the anointing you're going to ever get. You got to learn how to develop the walk in what you got. Oh, don't patty cake. Give him a hand of praise.